Hello, everyone, and welcome to Papa Hector's Spiritual Podcast. I hope that you're doing well. So today's episode is called Four Factors That Should Not Determine Your Spiritual Decisions and Path. And this is going to be a good one. So before I get into that, let me remind you to go ahead and subscribe to this podcast at anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. You can look us up, Papa Hector's Salva, and you'll find our spiritual podcast there. Also, you can check me out on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook at Hungan Hector, HungHecTor. Lastly, make sure that you subscribe to the newsletter at HectorSalva.com, HectorSalva.com, where you'll get updates, information, plus the blog is freaking loaded with great spiritual information. So let's get into our topic of the day. Four factors that should not determine your spiritual decisions. Okay? These four factors have led a lot of people into pit holes, pitfalls, problems and issues, and I've seen it time and time and time again. In fact, a lot of my godchildren call me the recycler and the cleanup dude. Why? Because I've cleaned up so many issues that people end up having happen to them as a result of not just these four factors, but many other things that unfortunately happens to them going on the spiritual path improperly. So these four factors mess people up all the time. And it's really sad because most of the time, like, people are really going to look for goodness. You're trying to improve and enhance your life. And unfortunately, when you're using any of these four factors in making spiritual decisions, you're setting yourself up for failure. So the four factors, before I start them, I've got them all nice and compacted for you. And I call them the four C's, the four letter C's, because all of them start with the letter C. So let's get started into what they are. So the first factor, okay, that you should not use to determine what you're going to do spiritually is convenience. Convenience should not be the determining factor for your spiritual decisions. Let me explain this to you through a little story. I had at one point a client who had come here, had spiritual work done, and resolved their issues, had tons of beautiful, miraculous results and change happened in their life. However, they were from down south. And for those of you who are not aware, I'm located in New Jersey. So they were living down south in Texas at the time. So upon having all this beautiful, miraculous change in their life, that awakened them to the fact that they wanted to spiritually grow and start upon the spiritual path. So although they really wanted to come and study with me and like apprentice and learn with me, it wasn't convenient living in Texas the fact that I was all the way in New Jersey. So this individual decided to find a hungan, or a priest, that was closer, that lived in Texas at that time, that was closer to him and therefore more convenient. As a result, this person was taken advantage of by that priest. And not only were they taken advantage of, but they were given rituals, initiation rituals, that they weren't ready for. As a result of basically receiving these initiation rituals that they weren't ready for, they weren't trained or developed to have, the entire life of the person basically broke down. Not only did they receive that, but they never actually were able to receive any training, learn, or apprentice with the new priest, because the new priest did not have the ethics or morality to make sure that he trained those people that he initiated. So as a result, not only did he not spiritually grow, he created a whole mess in his life, a huge mess in his life, which ended up bringing him back to New Jersey anyway for me to start doing a whole bunch of spiritual work and treatments in order to get this person spiritually set right. However, the work was like triple, quadruple, because basically now the person had an initiation which empowered a whole bunch of negative things to start to happen to him. So convenience should never be a determining factor in who you decide to spiritually work with or what you decide to do spiritually. In fact, oftentimes, if you're really committed and dedicated, okay, and you really want to grow, okay, it's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be inconvenient. Okay, because very likely the people with the knowledge, the power, the know-how, the training, the development to be able to teach you probably don't live around the corner. Okay, in fact, I've had various of my own students and initiates move from across the country, from California to Jersey, or from down south to New Jersey, on multiple occasions at times, to be able to study and train an apprentice. It was not convenient in any way, shape, or form. However, through this sacrifice, okay, they were able to really develop and really learn the tradition inside and out and really be able to grow as well as receive the many blessings in their life that came as a result of doing what was right and what was proper. So convenience is a factor that messes people up all the time. People often think, well, you know, I could go to this person versus this person because they're closer. They're near me. They live closer. They're more accessible. It's more convenient. I'll go buy from here rather than from there because it's more convenient, more accessible, etc. However, okay, sacrifice is not just the money, okay? And in order to achieve great rewards, great results, great sacrifices have to come about. So it's often very likely that you will not, okay, find that convenience and using convenience as the factor for yourself will bring you that spiritual progress. In fact, okay, I had someone who, although they were near me, they didn't know me yet. It wasn't until they got far away and moved across the country that they realized they were supposed to, that it came and that they met me, and then they were able to kind of like come to that space to realize they were meant to apprentice with me, etc. Okay? And it wasn't convenient. Okay? It wasn't until they were across the country that they came to find me. Okay? So it wasn't convenient for them to make their way back, but they did. So convenience should never be a factor. The second factor that should not be a factor in your spiritual work is comfort. Okay? A lot of people want to work with people that they feel comfortable with, that there's comfort, or they want only to do work that's comfortable for them. Okay, a lot of times, if you want major growth and major results, major success, you're going to have to do a lot of uncomfortable things. Whoever becomes president, whoever becomes senator, okay, whoever becomes some grand politician has had to go on through many discomforts and do many uncomfortable things, sleeping on planes, trains, automobiles, many uncomfortable things in order to reach their goals. Okay, and it's the same in the spiritual realm. However, a lot of people make decisions spiritually or determine their decisions based on what they're comfortable with or who makes them feel comfortable. Okay, lots of people can make you feel comfortable and not know jack in order to be able to train you, apprentice, or teach you, guide you, and spiritually evolve you to give you your spiritual development. In fact, a lot of us true spiritual teachers and true spiritual masters are going to make you uncomfortable. We're going to make you uncomfortable in order for you to learn, apprentice, and develop. In order for you to develop your spiritual capacities, a lot of discomfort has to come about. And a lot of people think that walking the spiritual path is just like roses and comforts all the time. Actually, it's not. There are many, many blessings on the spiritual path and many, many creature comforts and beautiful things that are given to you. Okay? However, there's also much discomfort that you will go through if you're actually spiritually progressing. We're going to have you dealing with things that are uncomfortable. You are going to be in uncomfortable situations. If you have true power, when you develop true spiritual power, you will be able to rise above your discomforts. In fact, that which once made you uncomfortable will become nothingness. It will not become an issue. It will not put you out of your comfort zone because you'll actually be centered and grounded and rooted in something real, not some fantasy, okay? And not your body, which is another illusion that holds you to needing to be comfortable. So we've had cases where decisions made on comfort ended up really, really costing people really severely, including losing loved ones. So you need to be careful of making your decisions spiritually being determined by comfort. Okay, so let's get to number three. And this is well known in the island. Very well known in the island. Number three is extremely well known on the island. But here in America or in the diaspora, it's not well known. Okay, number three is cost. A lot of people make their spiritual decisions or decide who they're going to learn from or who they're going to be under, or who's going to be their godparent, or who they should get a reading from, or who they should receive spiritual work from based on cost. Now, naturally, spiritual work, a lot of it costs money. But when you base your decision on costs, okay, you're setting yourself up for failure. Your cost should not be the determining factor of what you do. Okay, if you want the janky doctor that studied at the community college, he's going to cost very little in comparison to the doctor that went to Harvard Medical School. And you're going to get the results of those two different doctors, aka you're going to get the quality and the care from the Harvard Medical School doctor and the knowledge, the foundations, everything that they have, that they worked for, that they did not budge or negotiate on cost in order for them to become doctors, okay? That the community college you know, local college doctor cannot do for you. Doesn't know, doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the development. Okay? Cost should not be the determining factor. And in our cultures, it's rude to bargain with a priest. It's rude to try to bargain the cost of something with a priest. It's rude for a priest to try to bargain to buy things for his spirits. Yeah. It's considered unacceptable for a priest to go anywhere and try to bargain a price on what they're going to offer their spirits. Bargain prices on purchasing offerings in order to offer to their spirits. It's the same, same. It's rude to try to bargain with a priest, okay, as far as the cost of their services. However, you can, if the cross is prohibited, let your priest know your situation, okay? A lot of times, we will try to work with you or work something out. And sometimes, oftentimes, if you can't receive what's really needed, there are lesser steps that can be taken and can be worked through and can slowly start to break down the barriers and the boulder that you're facing. Rather than clear it all in one go, okay, the lesser steps will still take it down chunk by chunk, piece by piece by piece. Cost should not be a determining factor, okay? When you use that as your determination, okay, you're not setting yourself up for spiritual success. A lot of priests that have more experience, that have more knowledge and more development and have a larger clientele because they're better, okay, I'm going to call a spade, are going to cost more. It's the same thing as the Harvard doctor versus the community doctor. With that being said, okay, not everyone who is expensive is great. And not everyone who is cheap is bad. And not everyone who is cheap is good. And not everyone who is expensive is bad. Okay? So, cost should not be that determining factor. And we've seen this fail time and time and time again. And oftentimes, you end up spending double, triple, quadruple to fix what was done improperly by trying to be a bargain shopper in spirituality. So trying to find a good bargain often has costed a lot of people 2 and 3 times the amount of money in order to get things corrected. Because a lot of times you go to these bargain basement spiritual workers and they give you bargain basement work. And those bargain basement works make things worse and not better. And then when you go to a proper spiritual worker who knows what the hell they're doing, okay, they got to clean all that mess up, plus fix your originating problem, plus whatever other mess that has been created by your bargain basement spiritual worker. So cost is not something that should be one of those main factors, okay? At times, yes, okay? You may not have the money to get what you need done by the proper priest who knows what the hell that they're doing. Speak up. Be honest. Speak to your priest. Say, look, I can't afford this right now. Like, is there anything else that I can do? What can we do? Blah, blah, blah. And do understand that if you're doing something lesser, you're going to get a lesser result. However, it's better to do something than to do nothing. Okay, that's what I was always taught. It's better to do something than to sit around and do nothing. It's better to try to like start taking care of the problem and start on the path of fixing things rather than just letting things sit and rot and deteriorate worse and worse and worse and worse. Okay, a lot of people using costs have time and time again spent double and triple to clean these situations up. Not that long ago, we had someone with exactly that situation that used the cost to determine the spiritual worker that they were going to have do a spiritual removal of a negative spirit onto them. What happened was, as a result, the spirit that was removed really wasn't removed. They just ended up being pushed away for a little while. And then it came back with double the anger and double the strength. And it came back with multiple other negativities and other negative entities that now came with it. So as a result, this individual had to end up spending triple of what would have been originally the solution in order to get themselves out completely of this situation. So cost can be very detrimental if you're using that as your factor. C number 4, or the fourth factor that you should not use. The fourth factor is community. Community should not be your determining factor for what you decide spiritually. And I see this time and time and time again, where people make decisions based on who they like, who they dislike, what community they feel comfortable or connected in. A lot of spiritual communities are rife with drama, gossip, witchcraft wars, and a lack of progress. In fact, you can often see it within that community where there's nothing else really discussed. Positivities, beauties, and miracles aren't constantly being brought to the table. And a lot of people use that sense of community, or I feel connected into this community, where I feel connected to this individual A and B, and they are involved in community A, so I'm going to go into community A because they are a part of community A. And they end up not making the development, not making the progress, but also stuck. Because a lot of times your loyalties to friends and connections and relationships that you've made in your community, okay, that loyalty will come into conflict with your spiritual progress. That loyalty will make you feel bad or wrong for leaving that community once you realize that you're actually not progressing at all spiritually. Your loyalty to that community will keep you stuck in something that doesn't work for you and that isn't bringing anything better to the table, isn't improving your life, healing you, or helping you. Your loyalty to that community, okay, puts you in a box. And within that box, you're not able to rise above that community, okay? And the dramas of those communities start to become your dramas. And you start to get sucked into dramas and therefore distracted for what you really came for. What you really came for was to improve your life. One thing that I tell anyone who wants to study and be guided by me and want to become a part of what I do is that two things, okay? Actually, two things. Number one is that you don't need to enter the spiritual community in order to find drama. You can get drama at the club. You can get drama at the play. There's dramas everywhere. You can get drama at work. You don't need to become a part of a spiritual community for drama. So we don't do drama. Okay? We don't do drama. You don't need a spiritual community to provide you drama. The purpose of the spiritual community is to help you, support you, provide you progress. But mainly support. Number two is don't get lost in community and community relationships. In our tradition, Sansa 21 Divisions, we teach that the most important relationship you have is between you and your godparent, you and your teacher. None of the other relationships really matter as much as that relationship. It's the relationship between you and your godparent, you and your teacher, you and your brujo, that matters, okay? Because it's that relationship that's made and intended and has the purpose of bringing you healing, progress, spiritual development, and developing your own gifts and purpose. Many people get lost, okay, and distracted from that primary relationship by other relationships that they've made with other god brothers and sisters or other friends and people in that same community. As a result, the progress stops, the learning stops, the development stops. Because the distraction to deal with community will always be there. On this same note, tell you a little story. I had someone who came here and wanted to be initiated here. And after checking and seeing that she could have been initiated, she could be initiated, and we could do it for her, a friend of hers, a longtime friend of hers, reached out to her, finding out that they were both actually like heading down the spiritual path. And she, the friend, okay, we'll call her Betty. Betty was already involved in a spiritual community. And she already had her own plans to initiate in that spiritual community. My client, that we call Iwod, okay, Iwod was preparing to have her ceremonies and rituals with me. However, in the midst of this preparation period, okay, we don't just take you and throw you into an initiation chamber here, okay, Betty had connected with Iwod and let her know, hey, I'm already a part of this other community, I'm already a part of this, and Iwod, feeling comfortable with Betty, she'd known Betty for a long time, okay, came to me and was like, okay, Papa Hector, you know, my friend Betty, she's already part of a spiritual temple and a spiritual house, and she's getting initiated in that house, and I'm going to feel more comfortable, see number two, and it's more convenient, see number one, okay, to basically go and be initiated in that same spiritual temple, house, and community. Okay? Now, and that's what she did. Now, present day, okay, Iwod became initiated, Betty became initiated as priestesses, and none of them know much. Okay? The community that they initiated within and the teachers that they chose were people who did not teach, who do not teach their initiates, who do not teach their apprentices. And this is very, very normal in these spiritual communities. And part of it is because you have tons of people opening up spiritual houses and spiritual things who don't know Jack. And so if you don't know Jack, you can't teach Jack. You can't teach anything. So they went and spent their money, and they went the comfortable, convenient route and became priestesses who don't know Jack and didn't learn anything. And those teachers that they were supposed to be with pretty much abandoned them both. Fast forward a little bit more. And now, Iwod, okay, her whole life turned to crap. Because now she was initiated. She's a priestess. She has responsibilities. But she didn't even know what those responsibilities were. She didn't have the training to take care of what she received. She didn't have the training that follows up after you get initiated. She didn't have the stabilization process done to her that's needed. Okay? So her life went to total hell. Hell in a handbasket. And what did Iwod end up doing? She ended up quitting. She ended up quitting the spiritual path, thinking that that would somehow correct things. Instead, it made things worse. Till this day, okay, just recently has she come to, like, basically clean everything up. But until very recently, she continued to deal with this for years and years out of hanging her head in embarrassment and shame. Secondly, okay, the relationship between her and Betty ended up destroyed. Why? Because now she blamed Betty for involving her in a spiritual community where she wasn't getting any progress, she didn't learn anything, and she didn't develop. And in fact, things went backwards and awkwards and bad for her. Two. Three is, aside from her, Betty herself also didn't learn, didn't train, didn't have any knowledge or empowerment by the teachers that she went with, and ended up having to leave that location to find another person to teach her. Okay? Betty ended up here training with me and getting things corrected and starting to walk the path properly and starting to learn things and getting cleaned up. Meanwhile, Iwod, who was originally going to come here, okay, suffered for 5 or 6 years before coming back due to the shame, due to the guilt, and the shame of, like, taking the improper path with the improper people. But why did she make that decision? She made it based on a community. She made that decision spiritually based on comfort and convenience, but comfort with her friend and feeling comfortable with the fact that her friend knew that community. And if that community was good based on her friend who didn't know Jack, Betty, okay, who didn't know anything, that it would be good for her too. So decisions spiritually made based on community will mess you up, because it's not the community, okay, that's going to get you the development and the progress, okay? It's not the community that's going to give you everything that you need. Your decisions need to be based on something higher, something bigger, something greater than community. Your decisions need to be based on your spiritual progress, on what brings true spiritual progress. And these things take time to discover and develop and understand. Don't be quick to jump to join a community or to initiate unless it's absolutely necessary for you by someone who's actually qualified and has the teachings to give to you afterwards. Don't be so quick to jump, because oftentimes once you jump in, it's very difficult to get out. And there will be many distractions to keep you tied in and involved and keep sucking away at your life force, okay? And there will be plays on your loyalties. And when you become more loyal to the community than the spirits, more loyal to the community versus your spiritual path, your spiritual progress, and your purpose, it creates a whole slew of problems that you shouldn't have to and you don't need to deal with if you avoid this factor, using this factor as your determining decision. So I hope that this podcast has helped you, and many blessings to each and every one of you. Once again, I'm going to remind you that on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, you can find me, Hungan Hector, HungaHector. You can find my website at hectorsalva.com, HectorSalva.com, V as in victory, because we're victorious ones, .com. Subscribe to the newsletter, read the blog, check out all the great information we have out there for you, okay? And as well, go ahead and subscribe to me here on Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Simply look me up, Papa Hector, Papa Hector Salva, and you'll be able to subscribe and get notifications and get this information ASAP as soon as it's put out. Many blessings to each and every one of you. Have a blessed week and keep the faith.